Hello, welcome to our program on careers. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. I would like to begin today's program with an article which appeared in the Wall Street Journal on the 18th of December. The title of the article is Job Fears Grow for White Collar Workers. This article was written for the Wall Street Journal by Rachel Louise Ensign. Unemployment rate for college-educated workers has drifted higher. Office workers are filled with anxiety these days. Tuesday's job report was the latest ominous sign in an era of big corporate layoff announcements and CEOs warning that artificial intelligence is going to be replacing workers. The overall unemployment rate ticked up to 4.6%. Sectors with a lot of office workers, such as information and financial activities, shed jobs in October and November. Hiring in many industries that employ white-collar workers has softened this year, according to Labor Department data, while the unemployment rate for college-educated workers has drifted higher. Fears about the job market are contributing to widespread pessimism about the economy. The University of Michigan's index of consumer sentiment is near historic lows. Many Americans these days are buckling under almost 5 years of persistent inflation, and college-educated workers who once were somewhat insulated from economic concerns are not anymore. Just a few years ago, these workers were getting promotions and raises left and right, and now they are hanging on to their jobs for dear life, spooked by high-profile layoff announcements, the rise of artificial intelligence, and an unforgiving job market for the unemployed. Americans with bachelor's degrees or higher put the average probability of losing their jobs in the next year at 15%, up from 12% 3 years ago, according to November data from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Workers in this group now think of losing a job is more likely than those with less education do, a striking reversal from the past. They also are growing more pessimistic these days about their ability to find a new job if they do get laid off. In that same survey, college-educated workers said that they have an average 47% chance of finding a job in the next 3 months if they do lose their job today, down from 60% 3 years ago. It's a moment of intense uncertainty, said Sarah Rand, who is 42 and who was laid off from her communications role at the University of Chicago in the spring. Her husband was laid off from a digital health startup around the same time. They were both earning six figures. If we can't feel stability, if the economy is not working for us, then who is it working for? Rand is trying to build up a consulting business, but so far that brings in about a third of her prior job's pay. The couple reduced their hours for the nanny, who took care of their two young children, stopped retirement contributions, and got rid of their second car. Rand is finding that the job market feels differently, dramatically, than it did back in 2022 when the university recruited her with a five-figure raise and a more senior title than her previous job. Job applications without a personal connection seem to go into a black hole. When she does land an interview, the hiring process can take months. Additionally, more companies these days seem to want employees to do more with less. I'm seeing a lot of roles where it's like three jobs just squished into one, Rand said. For now, though, there is an overwhelming sense that professional nobility has gotten a lot tougher. I used to look at the job market as if I moved, I'd have the opportunity to level up. Now, though, I'd be lucky to stay the same, she said. There is no firm definition of white-collar employee in government data. The term broadly applies to people who work in offices and have higher education, such as a bachelor's degree or some college. In recent decades, hiring and management and professional jobs rapidly outpaced other categories altogether. By some important measures, though, college-educated workers are doing just fine. The unemployment rate for workers with a bachelor's degree or higher who are 25 years of age or older stands at a relatively low 2.9%, though that is up from 2.5% a year earlier. And people with college degrees still earn far more than those without one. Still, many are starting to feel a paradigm shift. Right after the pandemic, many companies could not hire enough white-collar workers, partly because they wanted to keep up with the surge in demand that came in with COVID's wake. In recent months, however, companies including Amazon.com, United Parcel Service, and Target announced cuts to their white-collar roles. Some companies overhired and now have to correct for that. Others are holding back on hiring as they try to navigate the White House's new tariff policies and funding cuts. Executives are warning that artificial intelligence could make the situation even worse. Earlier this year, Ford Motor Company CEO Jim Farley said that technology is going to replace literally half of all white-collar workers in the U.S. Job openings in some white-collar industries are well below where they were right before the pandemic, according to Indeed. In mid-December, software development jobs stood at 68% of their February 2020 level, while marketing roles were at 61% of their pre-pandemic level. Job postings in healthcare, where it is a lot harder to replace workers with artificial intelligence, have held up much better. When it comes to college-educated workers, their worries are very understandable, given everything there is in the news these days, said Guy Berger, who is a labor economist and senior fellow at the Burning Glass Institute. You know that if you're laid off, you might be looking for a while. James Wright hopped between finance jobs at big food companies in 2022 and again in 2023. Now he is hunkering down after his employer and others in the industry recently announced layoffs and expense cuts. Staying put is what I feel is a safer choice for me, said Wright, who is 32 and lives in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The labor market, combined with persistent inflation and high housing costs, are making him feel pessimistic about the economy. So far, he has found artificial intelligence tools to be helpful professionally for him and personally. But he is not sure where the technology is going from here. If it does keep developing at the pace it is, a lot of different jobs, my job included, could go away, he said. Government workers who long enjoyed job security and benefits also are facing a new landscape. Tuesday's report showed federal government employment shrank by 6,000 jobs in November. That was on top of a massive loss of 162,000 federal jobs in October, a month when many workers who took a deferred resignation offer came off their payrolls. Lauren Weber wrote the following article for the Wall Street Journal, and this appeared in the October 20th issue of the journal. Firm brings outsourcing to rural areas. Provalis looks for small towns where incomes are low and people are eager for work. From Tahlequah, Oklahoma. Hiring is stalling out in much of America these days, but in small towns like this one, one company is on a recruiting spree. Provalis, which provides big companies with outsourced services such as insurance claims processing and cybersecurity monitoring, is expanding revenue by 35% to 40% a year with an unusual playbook. Investing in rural America. The company has around 250 open jobs now, with hundreds more in the pipeline. Instead of locating its service and technology jobs in a metropolitan area or sending them to countries such as the Philippines, Provalis is seeking out small towns, mostly in the South, looking for places where the average individual income hovers around $30,000. There, according to company executives, Provalis finds people who are eager for jobs that will teach them 21st century skills, but who have few opportunities. It is a stab at reversing decades of disinvestment in rural communities and a model for creating jobs in often overlooked pockets of the country. There is an untapped labor market in rural America, said Chuck Ruggiero, who is outsourcing executive who founded Provalis in 2017, years after the 9/11 attacks prompted him to look for ways to create jobs in the U.S. They have the grit, the grind, and many have the aptitude. To identify that aptitude, Provalis created assessments that helped to find the food service or retail workers who might have a bright future in tech or management roles. I came from a restaurant background myself with no experience, said Carol Kennison, who along with her husband was hired and trained by Provalis. She was hired in 2024 and recently was promoted to a $17 an hour role managing workers who monitor fraud concerns for a bank client. No major highways or railroads run through Tahlequah. The town of 16,000 people in northeastern Oklahoma has a poverty rate of 20.3%, about 8 percentage points higher than the national average. It is perhaps best known as the capital of the Cherokee Nation and the setting for the 1961 novel, Where the Red Fern Grows, about a boy who adopts two dogs and trains them to hunt. Paradoxically, those qualities made it an attractive place for Provalis to open its fourth location in 2022. The company has three more offices opening in other towns in 2026, bringing the total to 12. In Tahlequah, Oklahoma, it has 200 employees and is finishing a second facility that will hold 100 more. Training classes with up to 40 people are almost always in session as new employees come aboard. Around 50 million people, or one out of seven Americans, live in rural areas. These regions generate less than 10% of gross domestic product, most of which comes from resource-intensive industries such as agriculture, mining, and manufacturing, according to McKinsey. There has been a degree of retreat from investing in rural Oklahoma, said Chuck Hoskin, Jr., who is principal chief of the Cherokee Nation, which purchased a building for Provalis to lease. Politicians, he said, love small-town America and countrysides, but not very many put their money where their mouth is. So the arrival of IT and professional service jobs is something of a novelty in Tahlequah, as well as in Monticello, Kentucky, another community where Provalis operates, and Brewton, Alabama, the company's headquarters town. The company is a unit of OPS, a services company that includes Optomy, a staffing firm that supplies highly skilled technology contractors. OPS is partly owned by FFL Partners, which is a San Francisco-based private equity firm. Companies including Chick-fil-A, Navy Financial Credit Union, and the internet provider Brightspeed outsource a small portion of their IT or back office work to Prevalis. Drawn by the company's mission, they also reap the benefits of onshore services. Time zones line up, data is easier to protect, and site visits do not require overnight flights. Those advantages, along with what executives say is higher productivity and quality, allow Prevalis to compete with big offshore competitors such as Infosys, Cognizant Technology Solutions, and Wipro. With around 1,200 employees, Prevalis is dwarfed by those outsourcing giants, which each employ hundreds of thousands of workers, mostly in India, but also the Philippines, Vietnam, Mexico, and other lower-cost countries. Their services can cost 20 to 30% less than Prevalis. The simple reason, of course, is wages. That makes places such as Tahlequah appealing to Prevalis and its customers. In small towns, Prevalis competes for workers with employers, including Walmart, so entry-level pay starts low at roughly $13 or $14 an hour for workers who might have college degrees or years of work experience in other fields. Unlike with most hourly jobs, the wage potential at Prevalis is high for some, and the benefits package is generous. Health insurance costs $1 per paycheck. For the first 6 months, employees receive scheduled raises every 60 days, and another at the one-year mark. After that, pay increases are merit-based. That allows us to create middle-class jobs quickly, said Mike Keough, who is Prevalis' president. When Prevalis opened in Tahlequah, it told the town that the salaries there would average around $38,000 or 27% more than the local average income, which was around $30,000. A handful of non-executive employees at the Tahlequah office earn or will earn soon six figures. Jonathan Kimball is on that path. He worked full-time managing a local McDonald's while finishing his computer science degree at Northeastern State University, and he was hired by Prevalis back in 2022. There wasn't a lot in the 30-mile area, and I wasn't too keen on moving around, said Kimball, who is 25 years old and grew up in Stillwell, Oklahoma. Family is important to me, and it kind of limited my scope of work. Kimball's start was rocky, he said, but eventually he landed on a cybersecurity team. A corporate client noticed that his work, and he asked him to become a security engineer on its account. His pay has nearly tripled since he joined the company. The jobs are not for everyone. Turnover averages 30 to 40% a year, Keough said. When people leave, they often say the work, such as the phone calls with people confused about their insurance benefits or whose laptops have stopped working altogether, was too hard. But the roles have proved to be a good source of work for people who often have complicated lives, such as single parents needing some flexibility, soldiers who are transitioning out of the military, middle-aged workers whose bodies can no longer handle physically demanding blue-collar jobs. Around 31% of the company's employees these days have an associate or a bachelor's degree. For employees who might experience a bout of homelessness, most Prevalis offices have showers and laundry rooms. The company has occasionally put workers up in hotels while connecting them with public housing. There are community closets in every location to help employees put together a professional wardrobe. The opportunities might not satisfy everybody's ambitions. Ubaid Khan, who is a junior computer science major at Northeastern State University, arrived at a job fair on the Tahlequah campus earlier this month in a blue suit, ready to make a good impression. He hadn't heard of Provalis before he arrived, but he stopped by the company's booth. He might apply for an internship, he said, but his real goal is to move west and to get a six-figure job at a startup. Hopefully, I'll get a chance to work for Provalis, he said, and then I'll go on to San Francisco and achieve my dream. The next article that I would like to read for you today is from the Wall Street Journal of December 3rd. This article was written for the journal by Allison Pohl, and the title is New In-Demand Job Skill, Being a TikTok Influencer. On a recent day off from making lattes and frappuccinos, Starbucks barista Bridget Barron came into work to do something the company usually frowns upon, posting an on-the-job TikTok. For this video, though, the 21-year-old used a company-issued tripod and wore her Starbucks logo-emblazoned apron. The video she filmed of herself swirling whipped cream into holiday drinks racked up more than 800,000 views and gave Starbucks a quick viral marketing hit. There is a rich tradition of employees posting about work life, but it's often to spoof the grind of customer service or corporate culture, and many staffers do it without explicit approval or revealing where they work. Now, instead of discouraging the practice, companies from Starbucks to Delta Airlines are leaning into it by co-opting workers as their own social media influencers, and they want a hand in crafting the content. The strategy lets employers showcase their workplaces as happy ones and get some grassroots-like marketing out of their often young digital native staffers. For employees, it is a chance to channel their budding content creation skills into greater visibility and access to perks such as work trips and professional development training. It can also serve as a notch on their resume. I have grown up on social media and I love creating content, said Barron, who studies computer science in Charlotte, North Carolina, and aspires to be a user experience designer. She recently added content creator to her Starbucks work experience on LinkedIn. After working at Starbucks for 3 years, she said, I thought this would be a great intersection of the two things. Barron was one of 53 baristas chosen since 2024 for the company's Green Apron Creators Initiative, which encourages rank-and-file employees to post on-the-job videos. Starbucks sends them occasional prompts to post on coming promotions, such as the return of apple crisp syrup. Creators are paying per post, though the company declined to say just how much. As with similar creator programs at Ulta Beauty and at Hugo Boss's German headquarters, these staffers typically are not social media stars in their own right. Barron has fewer than 1,000 followers on TikTok. Otherwise, though, Starbucks still prohibits its baristas from posting on shift in their aprons or behind the bar unless such posts are pre-approved and coordinated with the company's brand marketing or communications team, they said. In recent years, one barista said he was let go after posting a customer's intricate multi-step drink order. Another was terminated after a rant that she posted about her shift went viral. The company declined to comment on any specific instances, but said it reviews any history of policy violations and whether the conduct violates its values before disciplining employees. Sometimes enlisting employees as influencers feeds a specific business strategy. Restaurant chain Portillo's plans to expand nationally, so it wants to raise its brand awareness beyond its mostly Chicago area base and hire more people, said Joe Wade, its chief people officer. This year, Portillo's chose 15 staffers for its Maxwell Street Mavens Creator program, named for a popular menu item, the Maxwell Street Polish Sausage, based on the content they posted to LinkedIn and internal channels. Zach Hawkins, who manages the Portillo's in Chandler, Arizona, is one of them. Hawkins, who is 33 years of age, said that he typically is not comfortable on camera, but saw the program as a good way to push himself professionally and personally. Recently, Portillo sent Hawkins and other employee creators prompts to create videos that tied to the National Italian Beef Week and National Hot Dog Week. Sufficiently inspired, he put on a hot dog shirt and had a colleague dress up as a hot dog. Aficionados of Chicago-style hot dogs have a strong aversion to using ketchup, so they filmed a bit showing the co-worker swatting a bottle of ketchup out of Hawkins' hand and creating a mess. Including editing, production, work took about 45 minutes. They then submitted the video for approval before posting it. With all the influencers out there, I think it's great that we're going with the times and using our resources internally, Hawkins said. Portillo's does not provide extra compensation to members of its program, but they are exploring incentives such as company merchandise, Waite said. Tapping employees as in-house influencers has to feel authentic, workplace analyst and corporate advisor Josh Burson says. If the staffer sounds scripted and unbelievable, it's all for nothing. This is about all the time that we have for our program on careers for today. I hope you've enjoyed listening in and will enjoy the rest of your day. And thanks for listening in. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader, and you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona.